Welcome to the American Cattleman Podcast. I'm your host, Chap Ramsey. Coming up today, a bit of cattle news, a peek at the next edition of American Cattleman Magazine, a conversation about the American National Cattlewomen and their upcoming Wired program. And then we'll talk about Garrison Brothers Bourbon with Rob Cordes. He's the head marketing dude there. You ready? Let's ride.
The American Cattleman Podcast is made possible through the support of Rawhide Portable Corrals, the number one portable corral on wheels. Often imitated, never duplicated. Learn more at rawhideportablecorral.com. And by Shorty's Cowboy Hattery, where for over 30 years, a Shorty's hat means you're serious about how you look. You can trust that your hat will be handcrafted by folks that truly understand the heritage of the Western cowboy. Learn more at shortyshattery.com. Now, here's the host of the American Cattleman Podcast, Chap Ramsey.
Thank you, Hunter, and welcome back to the American Cattleman Podcast. Great to have you along for the ride. By the way, we got some news coming up. We also got two great business conversations, American National Cattlewomen, and we're going to be talking bourbon with Garrison Brothers Bourbon. Good stuff on the way. News out of Washington is that President Biden wants to increase funding for the USDA by 7.4%. Biden's USDA budget request includes $7.7 billion to fully fund the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children. You probably know it as WIC. It's a major point of contention in recent budget battles. It would increase funding for wildlands firefighting by $387 million, raises funding by $733 million for climate-related funding, and increases NRCS funding by $67 million. It would also establish a chief artificial intelligence officer to promote the safe and responsible application of artificial intelligence in advancing the productivity of the nation's agriculture sector. Nebraska Extension in Kimball-Bander counties will be presenting a roundtable discussion with area producers and researchers to discuss the technology and how it can be effectively applied to ranching. The roundtable program is going to be at the 4-H building located just off South High School Street in Kimball, Nebraska, on Tuesday, April 16, from 7 until 8:30 in the evening. There's no cost to attend and no registration is required. Topics are going to include the use of drones with pasture and cattle management and understanding the regulations, remote water monitoring systems and cameras, how well do they work and what's the cost, calming pheromone treatment for cattle, what is it, and observations of its effectiveness, and virtual fencing, how well does the technology currently work and what's been learned. It's going to be in Nebraska. You ought to go. A long-awaited rule that changes which meat and poultry goods can bear the label Product of USA. It's going to give consumers better information and result in fairer compensation for U.S. farmers and ranchers, that according to agriculture experts. The rule, announced by Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, will require that Product of USA food labels can only be used on products from animals that were born, raised, and slaughtered within the United States. Current regulations allow products that come from animals born, raised, and slaughtered outside the U.S. to be labeled Product of USA as long as they were packaged within the country. This is a big, big story. The April edition of the American Cattleman Magazine is jam-packed with great information for ranchers and farmers. You're going to find stories about managing micronutrients for comprehensive herd health, grazing versus hay, how irrigated pasture can be more productive than haying. Benefits of weighing beef cattle, you can see that edition right now online at AmericanCattleman.com. Hey, when we come back, we'll be visiting with the ladies from the American National Cattlewomen, or ANCW. We're going to talk about what the association does for the beef business, as well as the foundation that helps young folks with scholarship money and the upcoming events known as Wired. That's next, as we continue with the American Cattleman Podcast.
It's way more than just a hat. It's a piece of American tradition. We're talking about Shorty's Cowboy Hattery, the finest handmade hats in the country. Founded by National Cowgirl Museum, and Hall of Fame, Lavona Shorty Coger. For over 30 years, Shorty's Cowboy Hattery has covered the heads of rodeo stars, music stars, working ranch cowboys, and folks that just want to look like one. Shorty's hats remain world famous and are sought after for their attention to detail, intricate sewing process, and signature beaver fur and beaver fur blends. You gotta get you one, or two. Visit shortyshattery.com because you deserve the best.
Hey, welcome back to the American Cattleman Podcast. My name's Jap Ramsey, your host, and with me are some ladies from the American National Cattlewomen's Organization. We're going to be talking about that, who they are, what they do, and we're also going to spend some time on a program that they're having. It's called Wired. Ladies, welcome to the American Cattleman Podcast. We've got Ashley Hughes and Rebecca and Janie and Lacey. So grateful that you guys are all with us today on ACP. So talk to us a little bit about what is the American National Cattlewomen's Organization? What do you guys do? Anybody can jump in there. Ashley, if you're the executive director there. What do you guys do?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. So the American National Cattlewomen, we are the national organization for women interested in the cattle industry. And we really are a voice for women who share a passion for the beef community. And the three things we really focus on are beef promotion, education, and legislation. We try to find somewhere for anybody who's interested in getting involved with the cattle industry. We really want to have an outlet for them based on whatever their interest might be.
And how long is American National Cattlewomen, how long have you all been around?
We've been around since the 50s. We actually started as the American National Cowbells.
Wow.
And through the course of the last, 70 years, we've turned into the American National Cattlewomen. And so it's a representation of women from all across the country, from down in the Southeast to Northeast, Northwest. We cover everywhere from coast to coast and everywhere in between. And
yeah.
So we're really blessed to have quite the variety and diversity of women from across the country.
And you all have 7 regions out there spread over the United States and very involved, from what I can understand, in cattle production in those 3 areas: beef promotion, education, and legislative issues. You also have a foundation that I thought was really interesting. I mean, you're not only there for the beef production industry, but you're also there to help young people get ahead. Would that be accurate?
Yes, it is. The American National Cattlewomen Foundation is the nonprofit 501c3. And so this was organized and founded by ANCW members. And the purpose really is to help generate funds for charitable purposes, educational purposes. They're here to support the next round of leaders. They're a huge supporter of the youth of the cattle industry, but also helping support the American National Cattlewomen organization itself in some of the educational and really promotional things that we're trying to do to raise awareness about the beef industry and hopefully help to tell people about what it is that we do.
Right. And y'all were in Orlando with us at National Cattlemen's Beef Association meeting, which was a great time. We were treated like royalty at the American Cattlemen Podcast, and we certainly did appreciate that. We've already heard from their folks in their media area and thanking us for being there and put a great spin on the cattle industry. Coming up, you folks have an event called Wired. And Wired is really an interesting educational opportunity. And the first one's going to be in Ohio, I understand, April 5th. So what can folks that go to Region 1, I understand, in Ohio, and then in Region 2 in Alabama, what can folks expect at these Wired events? Anybody want to jump in there?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Good.
So Wired stands for Women in Ranching Education and Development. And that's kind of a mouthful,
yeah.
But that's really the focus, is education, hands-on experience, and professional development We have a various slate of sessions that attendees will experience across each event. Each event is different. It's tailored to the region. It's tailored to things that producers in that area want to know, but it's also tailored to educating women who are newer in the industry to getting that network, getting that community, getting those resources of who they can call when they have a question or a problem, both locally and nationally. In the Wooster, Ohio event, that's the Region 1 meeting, our producers can expect to see a calving simulator. They will get to see how you handle cattle going through a chute and the different perspectives on that. There will be a keynote address from Dr. Temple Grandin. There will be some pen design experiences that we'll get to have a little competition. So there's going to be a whole lot of really exciting, really unique things at each event. The Region 2 meeting will be a little more focused on what a seed stock operation looks like. We're really excited to have Tennessee River Music hosting that event. That one will be, again, a very different vibe from that Region 1 meeting because of the host facility, because of the topics. But we couldn't do all of that without our wonderful sponsors. Right. And I'm sure we'll get into that here in a minute.
Yeah, we sure will. I'm really interested in one of the programs that's going to be happening there in Ohio, Chuteside Manners. Can you tell us, Lacey, you're on the call here. Lacey's from Molly Manufacturing. What is that something that you're going to be involved in?
Yeah, absolutely. Molly's had a wonderful relationship with ANCW for 20 plus years. When we saw the opportunity to jump in with Wired, we were excited because it really gives us that one-on-one small group aspect where we can kind of try things. People get hands-on experience. It's just fun. It's fun for everybody. We've really enjoyed it, and it's different every time. It's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, you and I met when we were in Orlando and didn't get much of a chance to talk to you, but I know Gail McKinney from American Cattleman Magazine had a discussion with you, and I had the opportunity to sit down and interview your daddy, the founder of Molly Manufacturing, and what a great conversation that was, and I certainly did appreciate that opportunity. Lacey, another question for you. You got involved in all this because it's a natural, I would imagine. You know, a woman that's involved in chute management and building those confinement areas. This is just really a great opportunity for Molly Manufacturing to get to know other folks in the business. One of the things I think is really interesting is many times, people think, well, why would women get involved in something like this? Well, I can tell you from experience on our ranch that that there's no purchase that goes on at all without a conversation with my bride. Pretty accurate, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're there to support people. This isn't nothing about this as a sales pitch. I'm a sixth generation rancher. We're as invested as anybody else. And it's just been a great opportunity and continues to grow. We love working with these ladies. They do a wonderful job. We always have fun, and the networking is wonderful. I think that's a huge part of it.
Sure is. Hey, can you tell us a little bit about what the keynote's going to be like in Ohio with Dr. Grandin?
Dr. Grandin, yep. She's always there to speak honestly and passionately about the industry. And she's always fun because she's very personable. You can really talk one-on-one with her, and she's going to give you the best information you can get, but she's willing to go in a lot of different directions. And yeah, she's just amazing.
Go ahead.
If it's anything like my past experience with Dr. Grandin's keynotes, she will find a way to cover every single subject that she is knowledgeable on and passionate about in the span of an hour. But not only that, she also, when we're having that shoot side session with Molly, she'll get right in there and tell John, hey, John, I think this is a great thing that you said, but this is the why behind it. And when you're looking at it through a cow's eyes, this is why you need to do things differently. And that's probably one of our favorite things about having her on site, is that she really helps us expand our perspective.
We're going to be having links to your website up on the ACP blog, so everybody can find out more about this and get registered. Now, I know that the registration deadline for Ohio is coming up, I think on the 25th or so of March. So folks got to get kind of busy on that. But then there's other, you know, your Region 2 meetings a little further out there. And what was it? Region 5 in Montana is back in June. So we'll be sharing this conversation with many, many people for some time up on American Cattlemen Magazine. So it really is an important opportunity for people to get involved. Ashley, you've kind of stepped into this recently, haven't you, as the executive director?
Yes, sir. I've been the executive director since last July of 23, and have been working with Cattlewomen since actually last Cattlemen's Convention. So just about a full year now.
All right. And what surprises have you encountered in doing this, Ashley? I mean, it's a big job. I mean, I'm very, very familiar with the old comment about herding cats. You got a lot of folks out there that you got to keep a track of, right?
There are quite a few people. One of the things that has been surprising, I knew this was a really great group of women. I've been associated with them for a long time. But now that I'm in the thick of really working with so many women from across the country, their passion and their willing to serve is truly unmatched. I've never seen anything like it. And I had no doubt that they do a good job and that they put in some time on behalf of American National Cattlewomen, but the volumes of time and the effort and the resources that they commit to the good of ANCW and the good of other cattlewomen across the country is absolutely amazing. It truly surprises me every day by seeing how much these women are willing to commit, because this is a volunteer position for everybody besides me. And what they're willing to give to help others, to help them learn, to help educate, to help promote on the legislation front, all of these different arenas, you have so many absolutely amazing women who do what they can, absolutely everything they can, giving of their time and their families and really for the good of ANCW. So it's been wonderful to watch. It's incredible to be a part of them. And I'm really blessed to have learned from all of these great people.
That's the voice of Ashley Hughes, ladies and gentlemen, the executive director of ANCW. Final question for you ladies, as we wrap up this conversation, what have I missed? What would you like to tell people out there who are listening to this edition of the American Cattlemen Podcast about ANCW?
I think we can echo what Ashley said of there is a place to fit in wherever you want within the organization. And I think that's why the Wired program was even started, is we know that there have been ladies that want to learn these skills because they're just getting into it. And we also have ladies that want to see what's new out there in a fun, hands-on environment. And so it's made for a great opportunity to learn from those of us that have been doing it a while. But everybody learns. So every event that I've gone to, you've picked up something from it, and the program continues to grow. So whether it's participating in the Wired events to pick up information to take back to make your ranch better, or if it's trying to figure out better ways to advocate and promote the beef industry, or making sure that our voice is heard in DC, there is a place wherever you are in the beef chain within the American National Cattlewomen.
You know, I kind of feel like Columbo sometimes. You know, I say I got a final question and then something else pops up. One of the things that we've talked about with many of the folks at NCBA in Orlando and since then is a lack of understanding how far the American consumer has gotten from production, from food production. I mean, you know, beef comes from the grocery store. It doesn't come from the ranch. And I suspect that ANCW is also there to help educate folks that may not live on a ranch, that may want to know about beef production and ranching and farming in general. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. And I think you've got multiple levels that you can do it. We're talking about the American National Cattlewomen, but we obviously have the state affiliates that feed up into the system. And then a lot of states even have local events. And so you can be working with consumers right in your backyard, or we do a couple of events that have a more national scope. And so it's always rewarding to go and talk to the consumer and realize that there are so many shared values between the two. And it's just a matter of getting us cattle women out to where the public is to share all the great things that are actually happening in it. And I think the same thing in reverse. We may be a little sheltered in our rural areas. And so it's good for us too, to go find out what questions consumers actually have, what they're interested in, so that as we're talking about it on social media or talking to somebody at the grocery store, we can be addressing the questions that they truly have.
And in this business, we've all got shared values at the same time. And it's really important to underscore that. Ladies, thank you so very much. Ashley and Rebecca and Jeannie and Lacey, thanks so very much for hanging in there with us for this edition of the American Cattlemen Podcast. I certainly do appreciate your time, and we'll be talking to you all, I know, at some point down the road. Thank you again.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good stuff from the American National Cattlewomen. You can learn more about them by heading to their website, ancw.org. So, do you like bourbon? If you do, you're going to enjoy my conversation with Rob Cortis, who happens to be the head marketing dude for Garrison Brothers Bourbon. It's a Texas staple. Come on back for the American Cattlemen Podcast.
We understand cattle. That's why the world's first hydraulic corral just keeps getting better. Our system is simple, flexible, and durable, built to keep your cattle operations easy and trouble-free. All the best features of a portable system with unmatched customer service is why Rawhide is often imitated, never duplicated. The Rawhide Portable Corral.
Hey, welcome back to the American Cattlemen Podcast. Great to have you along for the ride. My name's Chap Ramsey. I'm your host, and we've got somebody real special with us on our newsmaker line. His name is Rob Cortis. And guess what? He is the head marketing dude at Garrison Brothers Distillery. And we're going to talk all about what Garrison Brothers is and what he's doing and all the different types of brands and where they're at. And we got an exciting several minutes for you. Rob, welcome to the American Cattlemen Podcast. Great to have you with us, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Chap, for having me on.
So let's talk a little bit about what it is. So your real title, from what I understand, is head marketing dude.
That's correct.
How'd you get that?
Dan Garrison, who I've known for almost, well over 20 years now, he said, you can pick your own title. So I picked that.
Oh, well, why not? Yeah, it seems to work. So as the head marketing dude, you're kind of in the weeds about all of this stuff that Garrison Brothers is about. Talk to us a little bit about the history of Garrison Brothers.
Garrison Brothers is the first legal whiskey distillery in Texas. Emphasis on legal. I'm sure there are other people making whiskey in Texas, but we were the first to do it legally. We make bourbon. That's all we make. We don't dabble in, you know, gin or vodka. We just make bourbon.
So
we've been around. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the first. So when did you all get started?
Well, Dan had this crazy idea way back in 2003, and then he went off to Kentucky to learn how to make bourbon from the best distillers there were at the time. Back when bourbon wasn't hot, wasn't a craze. In fact, it was a declining market, but Dan loved bourbon. And So he really became a driving force in this craft spirits innovation and revolution. But in 2006 is when we got our federal permit to legally distill bourbon.
Wow. That's quite a history. And you guys have been around for a while now, and you're based in High Texas. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. It's right between Johnson City and Fredericksburg, about an hour west of Austin.
Well, I know that, cowboys like their bourbon, but you've got more than just the cowboy bourbon. You've got all kinds. As a matter of fact, I was checking out your website, and I saw in a blog posted last spring, I think it was, Lady Bird Bourbon. Tip of the hat to Lady Bird Johnson. How'd that come about?
Well, it's an interesting story. I promised not to drag it out too long, but Donis, our master distiller, who is an absolute genius, he came up with a bourbon that was then turned around and finished in a cognac cask barrel. And I don't know about his experiments, his voodoo lab, until he's tasted it and Dan has tasted it and have said, this is ready. This is amazing. And so we sit down and we go over it and he tells me all the details. And it's kind of interesting. We have two other bourbons that are named after bodies of water. Guadalupe, which is the river in Texas, and Laguna Madre, which is this estuary, this bay down in off the coast, a Gulf Coast. And both of those, it's around, and water is such an important part of making bourbon. It's really around telling the story of protecting our waterways and protecting our resources. So it was natural when Donis came to us. We started down the road of looking for a name that really continued that tradition. Thanks. And maybe with some sort of French connection to it. And really, it became a little bit problematic to try to tie in the French connection with a Texas river or an important body of water. And so we really struggled with this one for a while. And one morning in the shower, I literally thought, oh my God, Lady Bird. And it was direct connection to Lady Bird Johnson, since Nancy Garrison, one of the co-founders of Garrison Brothers, she is on the board of the Lady Bird Wildflower Center in Austin. And her family donated land and this carriage house, which is currently being restored. But we're 2 miles away, actually 3 miles away from the LBJ Ranch itself in Johnson City. And so there was this really natural, normal story to tell. And part of Lady Bird and its overall story, we got them to come out. They're part of the University of Texas now, the Wildflower Center. We got them to come out and help us restore some of our land at the distillery, which is also a working ranch. And they gave us consulting advice. And in return, in this full circle story, we donate $5 for every bottle sold to the Wildflower Center.
Oh, so that's how it works out.
It does. Well, we didn't need permission to use the name, but we did seek it. And we asked Lucy Baines Johnson if it was okay for us to use the name. And she readily agreed.
What a way to craft a story. Rob Cordes, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He is the head marketing dude down there at Garrison Brothers Bourbon Distillery. You mentioned something that I don't think I've heard much about from distillers or folks that are in the business that you're in. You said the word sustainability, and as it relates to water quality. Can you kind of give us a little backstory on why that's important to you?
Well, it's important to Dan and Nancy as the landowners of the ranch where the distillery sits. You obviously, it's not an industrial site. Our distillery is not sitting on some flat industrial land. It's beautiful Texas hill country. And, when we distilling is, it's an interesting process. You use a lot of raw materials. You use some a lot of electricity and natural gas and heat to make that process work, the least we could do is not damage the land and protect our resources. So one of the nice things about Dan's selection of the land out in High is it sits on an aquifer that is very, very high in minerals. And we use that well water for making our mash. And so when we, it's the water that we use with the high mineral content that when we add the yeast to the mash, it actually then becomes beer after about 4 days. So the first thing we make is what's called distiller's beer. But that high mineral content is really something that adds to the flavor and really adds, and it's really something that is almost food for the yeast to create, to convert that those sugars into alcohol. We then, at the same time, because our water in West Texas is kind of precious, we collect rainwater from all our roofs. Mm. When you distill bourbon, you put it into a barrel at, let's say, 130 proof-ish, and then you age it. And sometimes it comes out at a higher proof. Our bourbon is sold, most of our bourbon is sold at 94 proof, which means you add rainwater or you add water to what comes out of the barrel to get it to that point. We add purified Texas, Central Texas rainwater.
Hmm.
And so we're collecting water that would have gone into the ground or would have just evaporated away. And we have storage tanks all over the distillery in order to be able to use water that has no chemicals added to it to make a better tasting product.
That's a fascinating story. I mean, using rainwater. And
yep.
Yeah, I mean, that is a sustainable way in which the business can thrive and be good to the environment at the same time. Rob Quarters, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest here on the American Cattleman Podcast. He is the head marketing director over there at Garrison Brothers Bourbon. You've explained to our listeners how you make bourbon, and I think it's a fantastic story because there's a lot of scientific work that goes into this. This is not just throwing some stuff together at a still out out in the hills somewhere. This is serious business. How do you, as the head marketing dude for Garrison Brothers, how do you market? Where's your sweet spot? What do you want folks to know?
Well, it's an interesting question. We, unlike I think some other brands that come up with a market and say we're going to go after men in 45 to 55 who are into NASCAR, for an example, and then they create a brand based on that. We, Dan Garrison and Donis Todd, the master distiller, just focused on creating the best bourbon in the world and continually improving the bourbon, which draws people from all walks of life. And when we do research studies, we see, an even split in economic background, in education. We see, people from all over the world, obviously with a heavy concentration from Texas. The, marketing for us is pretty simple in that I really only do two things. I want to meet new people and I want to be interesting. And people find bourbon interesting. They find really good, high quality, handmade bourbon very interesting and also very drinkable. So we do a lot of sampling events. We sponsor a lot of events where we can meet people. We can sample them on our bourbon and they become, and invite them to our distillery. They become fans, and whether they live in California or Florida or New York, we have people who come in for our distillery releases from all over the United States.
Wow. So this is a long-term project. I mean, if you're meeting people and getting them to sample the bourbon, wherever it happens to be, this is a long-term marketing plan, I'd suspect, to make friends first Would that be accurate?
That's very accurate. We don't, you know, we're a small craft distiller. We don't have the big giant ad budget. So if you can get word of mouth or people who turn around and love your bourbon to share it with others, those other people will love it as well. That's been our go-to and Dan's plan from day one. We still do that, but at a bigger scale. We're now sold in 49 states, 11 countries, and that has been a combination of sampling, sponsorship, advertising, and just rabid fans.
It's an amazing story. Tell me about this. You said that bourbon was a declining product several years ago, but now it's on the increase. Everywhere I go, I've got friends of mine, Gail McKinney, who happens to be the publisher of the American Cavalry magazine, good friend of ours. You know, he is a bourbon connoisseur. I mean, this guy goes out and he picks fine bourbon all over the place, and he's really into that. What has been the dramatic increase? What's caused that, do you think, across the country?
You know, I think there's a combination of things. The timing was right. You know, Chuck Cowdery, who's a writer about bourbon and whiskey in general, put it interestingly. He said, you know, in the 80s and 90s, the drink of choice was, you know, became flavored vodkas. And, you know, and they really got pretty silly with the flavors. And they're still around and they're still good if you like those type of things. But there was, you know, bourbon was sort of what your grandfather drank.
Right.
And so,
right.
You know, your parents didn't drink it. They drank something new and whatever, you know, was being promoted on the TV. But you know, as you're at skips a generation. And so somebody's looking for things that are authentic, that are a higher quality product. They gravitated towards bourbon. And as that generation started getting interested in different drinks that they could share and savor and enjoy, bourbon became the dominant one. Right now, there's such a shortage of bourbon across the United States that you see people hunt for bourbon, those rare expressions. And we definitely benefit from that as well. But then that becomes that sought after product. And there are people like Gail who have a ton of products and options in their bar. And they like to show it off and share it and enjoy it. And, you know, each different brand has a unique experience to it. Bourbon is the most regulated spirit in the United States, and because it has to follow a set of rules in order to be called bourbon.
So I was sitting on an airplane not too long ago, coming back from CattleCon with the NCBA. And I was sitting next to a guy who, a pretty well-heeled fella. And we were talking about bourbon. And he said he has several bottles of your bourbon in his bar. And the UPS driver came up one day and was delivering a package to his business. And they got to talking about bourbon. And the UPS driver said, you know, I can't find Garrison Brothers bourbon local. I just can't find it. And the gentleman said, hey, I got a case up in my bar. You want a bottle? So the guy says, yeah, sure. And so he gave him a bottle. He was most thankful for that. I think it's a great story. And that was a chance meeting on an airplane coming back from CattleCon, NCBA. So, you know, you run into folks that really do enjoy what it is y'all are making. And I thought I'd share that story with you. It's kind of fascinating.
I appreciate that. I hear stories similar to that whenever I travel and in some of the most unlikely places. Two separate stories at one restaurant and one night of people who have in Chicago, people have been to the distillery. One of them had purchased a single barrel and did the selection at the distillery and ended up with about 60 bottles that he shared with his friends.
Yeah, you know, it's an amazing world. It really is. Final question for you, Rob, who, by the way, once again, is the head marketing dude down there at Garrison Brothers in Texas. What What's next, do you think, for Garrison Brothers as you look into the future? Market share, larger market share, new discoveries? What do you got? What are y'all planning down there?
Well, bourbon's an interesting product in and of itself. It's an aged spirit. So for us to grow, we had to have a crystal ball 3, 4, 5 years ago in order to sort of project where we would be and also invest in equipment, buildings, people, barrels, way back then to grow. Right. So otherwise, our bourbon that we would sell every year would be capped. It would be harder and harder to find each year because people would store, you know, not one case, but 2 or 3 cases if they could find it. And luckily enough, we did invest and just finished an expansion at the distillery that would allow us to double the amount of bourbon that's out there in roughly 5 years from now. So that is our growth plan. We've had so much success and not just in Texas, but in other markets that, and not just from awards and aficionados, but bartenders, food and beverage managers from across the country who are really recognizing what it is to enjoy a premium bourbon and not just sell a bourbon that you use in a mixer or a cocktail.
Got it.
So we see, you know, it's a gamble for us to invest this much and then have to wait 5 years to see the results. But, you know, we did that. We doubled our production almost 4 years ago to get to where we are today. And what we do now, we won't be able to drink or taste until 2029.
Wow. You got to have patience in this business. You got to have patience and a deep faith in what it is that you're doing. Rob Cordes,
Thanks
so very much for spending time with us here on the American Cattleman Podcast. I've learned a lot about bourbon, especially Garrison Brothers and all of the things that you have. And we will be linking up to your website from our radio blog. So thank you so much for spending time with us, Rob, and good luck to you.
Thanks, chap.
Learned a ton about the world of creating great bourbons from Rob Cordes of Garrison Brothers. Hey, you want to find out more? Head to garrisonbrothers.com and make sure you check out their cowboy bourbon. Looks great. That's about time to shut the gate on this edition of the American Cattleman Podcast. Don't forget to share this with your friends and family. And remember, you can check out the April edition of the American Cattleman Magazine online at americancattleman.com. Till next time, adios, my friends.